Lesson 9, Denying the Soul and Turning to the Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are we enjoying?
Amen.
Are we enjoying our time here?
Amen.
You know why we're enjoying? Because we're turning to our spirit.
Amen.
And when we turn to our spirit, we enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
So tonight, we want to continue a little bit more from what we talked about in this morning's lesson. But tonight there's a little bit of a different twist to it. You know, we saw this morning that man has how many parts?
Three.
Amen.
Who can tell me what the three parts of man are?
They've got their hands raised over here.
Say.
Young man.
Body, soul, and spirit.
Stand up for me, son.
Body, soul, and spirit.
Okay, say them in the opposite order.
Spirit, body, yeah. Soul.
Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So we have our spirit. We have the soul. And we have the body. Right? And we saw that the spirit is an organ that has functions. And we saw that the soul is an organ that has functions. And that they're related, but they're not what?
The same.
They're not the same. Right? And we saw that the spirit is the deepest part of our being. It's actually so deep in our being that Paul, in his epistle, related it to something very deep in our bodies. Who can remember what that was? Young lady?
Bone and marrow.
Bone and marrow. Very good. We have bones, and deep in the bones we have marrow. And Paul said it was soul and spirit, bones and marrow. So the soul and the spirit are very much related. And today we're going to look at something very important related to the soul and the spirit. So what I want to do is read the title, first of all, of this message, With a Strong Spirit, and reading, Denying
the Soul and Turning to the Spirit.
Once again,
Denying the Soul and Turning to the Spirit.
Denying the Soul and Turning to the Spirit. You know, in the epistles, when we read Paul's writings and other writings in the epistles, we're always told to turn to our spirit, right? To walk in the Spirit. To set our mind on the Spirit. But unfortunately, we find that there's something that impedes us from doing that. What is it you think that impedes you from turning to the Spirit? The soul! Exactly! The thing that's very related to our spirit is our soul. And unfortunately, the soul can keep us from turning to our spirit and enjoying the Lord. So let's read Roman numeral 1 all together. In the teaching
of the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, it always tells us that we have to deny the soul to lose the soul.
Deny the soul, lose the soul. In fact, let's read some of those verses. I want you to look up Luke chapter 9 in your New Testament. And we're going to read 23 and 24. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23 and 24. When you have it, look up at me. Okay. And reading.
And he said to them all, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it.
this one shall save it. So there we see something very interesting in these two verses I want to point out to you. In the first verse, it uses the expression himself. And in the second verse, it uses the expression soul life. There we see that these two expressions are what we call interchangeable. The soul life is actually the self. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. First, I want to read A under Roman numeral 1. So everyone, A under Roman numeral 1, and reading. The soul
is comprised of three parts: the mind, the emotion, and the will. If we deny our mind, our emotion, and our will, there is nothing left but the spirit. To give up your mind, emotion, and will simply means to give up yourself.
To give up your mind, emotion, and will means to give up the self. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the self. Where did the soul come from? Did that just kind of come from out of nowhere? Or did God create the soul? Did God create the soul? Yes. God created the soul with functions to express himself. God. We have a mind and an emotion and a will to express God. But something happened. Young brothers and sisters, something happened to man's soul. When Satan rebelled against God, and when Satan tricked man into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he got into man. Satan got into man, and man's soul was damaged. Man's soul was polluted. I want you to look up a verse for me. It's in Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And we're going to read three verses, 12, 13, and 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12, 13, and 14. When you have it, look up at me. Okay. And reading, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12.
O Jasar, son of the Lamb, how you have been hewn down to earth, you who made nations fall prostrate. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will exalt my throne, and I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.
Amen. Now you'll notice in those verses, this is Satan rebelling. This is Lucifer rebelling against God and becoming Satan. And he uses the expression, I will, five times. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. You know, I told you earlier today that I have several children. And while they're all similar in some ways, they're also very different. And I have one particular daughter. I won't tell you which one that is. But, she was just a little girl. And, she started walking and she was getting a little better and a little better. And finally, she got to the point where she could, walk pretty well, pretty good. So I decided to take her outside to walk around the neighborhood for the first time with her dad. So I took her outside and I set her down. She was two. She may not have been two. And I reached down and I took her by the hand. Mm-hmm. Very normal thing to do, right? Your dad wants to hold your hand when you're a little girl and you want to walk around the neighborhood. And as soon as I took her by the hand and started walking, she said, "I walk, I walk, I walk, I walk." This is absolutely the truth. And I tried it again. "I walk, I walk, I walk." I figured maybe I'll try the other hand. "I walk, I walk, I walk." No matter what I tried to do, I walk. Now, she was no more than 2 years old, if that. Yet, she was already expressing something. She was expressing her soul life. The fallen soul life that was corrupted when Satan came into man. When the man disobeyed God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan came in. So our spirit is within this soul, which is why, in order to enjoy the Lord in our spirit, it's necessary to deny the soul. We have to deny the self. Okay, let's read B together. Because
we are so much in the soul, in the mind, emotion, and will, our human spirit does not have a chance to do anything. We must practice continually to deny our mind, our emotion, and our will.
We must practice once in a while.
No.
Practice when?
Continually
to deny our soul. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the world is designed to feed your spirit?
No.
What do you think the enjoyment and the things in the world are designed to feed?
Your soul.
Your soul. They're designed to feed yourself. You know, I remember when I was a young man, which was a little while ago, there used to be an expression that was very popular. And it was, "Express yourself." People used to say that back in the day. "Express yourself. Express yourself." You know, sometimes I'm standing in line in the supermarket and there's a lot of magazines there. You know, there's actually in a magazine, big bold, four big bold letters across the top. You know what it's called? Self. Self magazine. Buy that magazine and read all about yourself. See, this is the world that we live in. Everything in the world is designed to feed your soul. So we have to deny the soul. Now the question is, how do we deny the soul? Brother Dan, you want me to deny my mind and my emotion and my will. So you just want me to go home, sit in the corner, and vegetate. What are you doing? Denying myself. What are you going to do today? Nothing. I can't do anything. I can't think. Because I'm denying myself. I have to deny myself. Right? No, of course not. Let's read C together. Everyone reading C together. Some
think that if we deny the soul, we will not be able to live. But we must realize that there is a difference between the life of the soul and the faculties of the soul. The life of the soul is one thing, and the faculties of the soul are another thing.
The life of the soul is one thing, but the faculties of the soul. What are the faculties of the soul? All together now.
Mind, emotion, will.
Right? I will, I will, I will. The mind, emotion, and will are the faculties. The problem is that the life that is there is wrong. So if we're going to enjoy the Lord in our spirit, we have to deny the life. Now we're going to look up another verse. 2 Corinthians 4:16. And there's a real good footnote there that'll, I think, help us a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Yeah. Amen. When you have it, look up at me. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:16. And reading.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day.
Hallelujah. We do not lose heart. Amen?
Amen.
We never have to lose heart. Although our outward man is decaying, the inner man. So now we have two men here now. We have the outer man, and we have the inner man.
Amen.
And to help us with that, I want to read the footnote on 16:1. 16:1. Okay? Let's read that together. The outer man
consists of the body as its organ, with the soul as its life and person. The inner man consists of the regenerated spirit as its life and person, with the renewed soul as its organ. The life of the soul must be denied, but the faculties of the soul, the mind, will, must be renewed and uplifted by being subdued, so that they can be used by the Spirit, the person of the inner man.
Amen. So now, what we have here, we have something new we can call the outer man, and we have our inner man. And in order for our inner man to be our person, we have to deny our outer man. See, when man fell, his soul became his person, and his spirit was deadened. Satan didn't take over man's spirit, but man's spirit was deadened. But when we receive the Lord Jesus into our human spirit, our spirit became what? Life. The spirit is life. But the soul, the outer man, is the fallen part. So it's not the faculties of the soul. The Lord wants to use your mind. He wants you to have a keen mind, a sharp mind. The Lord wants you to use your emotions. Emotions are good. We love. We care. We have emotions. We should be emotional people, but not naturally emotional. So the faculties are very important. We should have a strong will. A strong will to follow the Lord. But we have to deny the life that is in the soul, so that the spirit can become our person. And our soul can be the organ to express that person. Right now, in the world, it's the other way around. Yeah. People live by their soul. They express themselves. You see it in their bodies, expressing themselves. Sometimes I see people on the street and I just shake my head. I just wonder, what exactly are you doing to yourself?
Yeah.
They'd say, I'm expressing myself. This is expressing myself. But what the Lord wants is for our spirit to be our person.
Amen.
And for our soul to be the faculties that the Lord uses to express that inner man.
Amen.
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 So now let's read D together.
The natural life, the life of the soul, has been crucified on the cross. Now we have to take the Lord as our life. We must give up our natural life, the life of the soul, and take the Lord in the Spirit as our life.
Amen. We must take the Lord in the Spirit as our life. Who knows what Galatians 2:20 says? It's a very, very well-known verse. We can look it up. Let's look it up so we can read it all together. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. When you have it, look up at me. Some of you probably say, oh, Galatians 2:20. Yeah, oh, okay. Oh, that's what that verse says. Oh, okay, yeah. I've been singing it for many times. I didn't know. Okay, when you're ready, Galatians 2:20.
No. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Amen. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives, Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 There you go, bro.
You guys know the other one, right?
I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I. But it is Christ that lives in me, and the life faith of the Son of God, who loved and gave himself up for me.
Walking by the Spirit. I don't sing well, so you guys have to help me. Lord, I love you. You're the this and that. Lord, remind me where you're at. You're in my spirit, dispensing. Amen. I love that song. Here we go. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can you guys hear me? Yeah? No? Oh. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I got to exercise so you can hear me.
Amen.
You know, I appreciated everything our brother said. I almost forgot I had to share. I was just like, is there more? This is such a great revelation that we can deny our soul life and turn to our spirit.
Amen.
And when we turn to our spirit, we're doing what God intended for us to do in the first place.
Right.
Did you guys catch that? In his original intention, it was for us to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what he wanted from day one. But it was Satan who came in and corrupted man, and now we have this problem of the soul life.
Right.
You know, there's a story in the Gospels about this that always kind of paints the picture for me. And so I'm kind of going to walk you through this one, we'll say character, but this one person in the Bible, and we'll see his transition from being a person who was led by the soul, mm-hmm. even rebuked by the Lord, to someone who realized that he needed to deny his soul life and honor the Spirit.
Amen.
And this person is Peter. You guys know Peter, right? Upon this rock I will build my church. That Peter? Matthew 16, Peter?
Yeah.
Right? How about we turn to that verse? We'll turn to that chapter, Matthew 16. And let's turn to Matthew 16:16. This is one of the times Peter was right. He actually said something and it was right.
Wow.
Once you guys have it, you can start reading it.
Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
This was a major revelation. You guys have heard this story before, right? The Lord asks his disciples, he said, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" And some say, "Hey, you're the prophet, and you're this, and you're that." And that was Peter's response. And how about we read the next verse and see what the Lord says?
And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens."
Blessed are you. He received a revelation from the heavens. He had the right answer, and it was telegraphed in his being through the triune God. This is awesome. I want to get that kind of answer on a test. Somebody asked me a question, I respond, and the Lord said, "Blessed are you, Marvin." You're blessed to have that kind of response. How awesome is that? But then we see a few verses later, something different happens. And so we'll go to this verse right here. If we come to 21 and 22, how about you guys read 21 and 22?
From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day he raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God be merciful to you, Lord. This shall by no means happen to you."
Okay, this is the word that struck me when we come to 22. I'll read this phrase and then get to this word. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Rebuke. Peter rebuked the Lord Jesus, the one who he just said was the Christ. He just had this revelation that he's the anointed one of God, who is here to fulfill God's economy. And the Lord gives him a further revelation and he rebukes him. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys stand up to your parents if they say something, but have you ever rebuked your parent?
No.
Yes? Who said? I thought I heard a yes. There was a yes? You rebuked your parent? Lord Jesus. Wow. Wow. Okay, let me tell you the way it works. Your parents rebuke you. Right? That's how that works. You don't have authority over your parents. So you shouldn't dare rebuke your parents. Peter rebuked the Lord. Who does that? How could you do that? So in response, the Lord rebukes him. But listen to how and what he says. Read verse 23.
But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man."
The Lord Jesus called a chosen disciple. You know, the Lord's the one who picked Peter. He found Peter one day and said, "Hey, you come with me." Peter was a fisherman. And he said, "From now on, you'll be a fisher of men." Like, instead of, like, fishing, you're going to, like, go fishing and get, like, men. That's what he told him. He handpicked him. But you know who he called him here? Satan. The greatest enemy of God. You just went from one of the first picks to the greatest enemy because you rebuked the Lord. And why did you do so? Because of natural affection. You know, Peter loved the Lord. He followed him that day. The Lord said, "Follow me," and he followed. And he was with him. And on so many occasions, Peter was the first to be like, "Lord, yeah, I'm here for you. I want to do everything for you. I love you." And so when the Lord says that he was going to die to fulfill his economy, Peter spoke according to his feeling. Listen to what he said. Listen to how he rebuked him. "God be merciful to you, Lord. That shall by no means happen to you." No, man, the Lord will have mercy on you. You're not going to die on the cross. You're not going to fulfill your commission. You're not going to complete God's economy. You're not going to do what the Lord has asked you to do, what he had in his heart from eternity past. You're not going to, no, your economy doesn't matter because I love you. You know who was speaking behind those words? Satan. When the self rises up, it's always to frustrate God's economy. That soul life that we have to deny is actually the satanic element in our being. We don't see it. Peter didn't see it. He had just had a revelation from the Father. And now he hears a further revelation, and in his opinion, Satan was allowed to speak. He had no idea, but the Lord corrected him. And in the next few verses, we'll see how. Let's read 24 and 25.
"Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it. But whoever loses his soul life for my sake shall find it.'"
So Peter honored his own feeling apart from God's economy, apart from the Lord, and in a sense what he was doing was trying to save his own soul life, what made him happy. How many times have you guys chosen what made you happy over the Lord or what the Lord wanted? You don't have to raise your hand, but our brother did. Look, I put up my hand and and my foot too. I do it. We all do it. Because the soul life is pervasive. It's there all the time. That's why we have to continually deny it.
Amen.
And I just want to read this sentence to you, just to bring that up a bit more. When we talk about denying our soul life, this is page 116 in your book. And this is, listen to this definition. To deny your soul life is to deny your own thought, your opinion, your idea, your concept, your love, your wish, your will, your decision, your choice. This is page 116. And does everyone have this book? You could just write down the page number and you could find it. It's in that section that's entitled, it's A, denying the mind, emotion, and will. I read that again. To deny yourself is to deny your own thought, your opinion, your idea, your concept, your love, your wish, your will, your decision, and your choice. It's basically everything you have. That's what the Lord's asking. But do you guys know the reason for this? The reason for this is because you were never supposed to have these things in the first place apart from the Lord. When he made us, he made us as vessels to contain him and express him. The main purpose of a human being is to express the Lord's thought, the Lord's opinion, the Lord's idea, the Lord's concepts, the Lord's love, fulfill His wish, represent His will, execute His decisions, and honor His choice. That's why we're here. When we deny ourselves, we actually fulfill our purpose on this earth. And this is to gain our soul life. So the Lord, in one hand, He says, deny this. Isn't that an odd phrase? Deny your soul life, and then you'll save your soul life? If I'm denying it, what am I saving? You're saving it because you're now fulfilling your purpose. You're living Christ.
Amen.
So we've already talked about this, right? We talked about the divine spirit, the process the Lord went through in order to inhabit our human spirit. Amen. The reason for that is so that our human spirit can reflect the Lord through our soul.
Amen.
Your mind, your emotion, and will needs to be renewed and uplifted so that the Lord can get the expression that He desires.
Amen.
And I appreciate that this happens to Peter. He had this failure, right? Okay, he had another failure. I'll bring you guys to this one too, in 17. This is the next chapter from what we just read. So the Lord rebuked him. He called him Satan. Peter took it. He now found out, okay, I have to pick up my cross, have to follow the Lord. And then the Lord brought him to this. You guys have heard of the Mount of Transfiguration?
No?
Okay, we're going to read about this. How about we come to chapter 17, again in the book of Matthew, and read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so we'll do it this way. Brothers, how about you read verse 1, 17, 1, sisters 2, brothers 3, and then sisters, read verse 4.
And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain privately. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him.
And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you are willing, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
This is verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I have found my delight. Hear him.
Amen.
Peter spoke so far out of turn that from the heavens a voice came and interrupted him. Do you guys understand what happened? Peter had an idea. He had an opinion. He had a thought. He said, it's good for me to be here. I'm going to make 3 tents. And in that comment, he actually put the prophets on the same level as the Lord Jesus, who he loved, who we saw a few days earlier. He didn't want him to die. He didn't want him to fulfill God's economy. He was rebuked. He was corrected. 6 days later, the Lord is being transfigured before him, and he has another opinion. And a voice from heaven cut him off while he was still speaking. He couldn't even finish what he was saying. The Lord had to stop him. This is my Son, hear him. Peter, your opinion does not matter. Be quiet. The Lord said, Peter, sit down. I have something to tell you. This is my Son. No one is more preeminent than Christ. No one. He is the Beloved. Where is Christ today? Say it.
In our spirit.
In our spirit.
Amen.
The thoughts, the feelings, the intentions of our soul is not preeminent over Christ in our spirit. If Peter could share his opinion and a voice from heaven can come and cut him off, why wouldn't we allow our spirit to cut off our opinions? You know, there was something that happened a few days ago. You guys had the whole soccer tournament, well, volleyball, right? So there was someone, I happened to be playing soccer with the high schoolers. And, you know, we're playing, a junior high schooler is there, they're calling everyone to the volleyball field, and this young person was like, "I hate volleyball." That's their opinion. They hate volleyball. "I hate volleyball. I don't want to do it." I was like, "Well, it's mandatory. You got to go." "I don't want to do that. I don't want to." It's like, "I know you don't want to, but it's mandatory. So you have to do that." "No, I'm not going to that." And I'm just like, "What is going on? Like, you really, it's mandatory. All of them are there. Everyone's are there in rec attire. They might just want to take a nap. But they're there. So you should be there too." The self just came out. Mm-hmm. Now, is the opinion right or wrong? Neither. That's an opinion. You don't like volleyball. Okay. That's fine. You don't have to like volleyball. But we're in the SSOT. We're going to honor the guidelines that the saints have prepared for us. But the self always comes in, always has an opinion, always has an idea. You know, that was a young person. I'm not a young person anymore, but this happens to me as well. Happens to all the serving ones you see here. You know, tomorrow is the outing, and I'm sure you guys are excited, right? Right? Everyone's excited. It's going to be awesome. You guys are going to have a terrific time. I'm going to be doing laundry. I heard an awe. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll let you guys know that the Lord has a sense of humor because he knows I hate laundry. Ever since I was your age. You know, I'm an only child. So me and my mom, we would fight a lot. But one of the main things we fought about was laundry. Because she has her opinion about how laundry should be folded, and I have my opinion about not folding it. And so she would say, "Hey, I'm going to go to the laundromat. I'm going to do the laundry. You fold the clothes." I say, "Hey, you just put the clothes in the bag, and I'll iron them. And then I don't have, because I like ironing. I don't like folding them." She says, "No. If you fold them in this particular way, when you iron it, you won't have to iron, you won't have to press as hard." And I would say, "Okay, but I'm still just going to iron it, so I'll iron it. It doesn't matter. Just put it in the bag." Button heads. Fighting the whole time. Finally, I said, "You know what? I'm just going to do my own laundry." Worst mistake. I should have never done it. I should have just folded the stuff. But that's what happened through my teens, right? You know, it was only today as I was praying I realized I had an opinion, she had an opinion, but you know we both had a regenerated spirit. Had I turned to the Lord to say, "Lord, how should I handle this?" there could have been a very different outcome in my teenage years. This wouldn't have been a matter of contention in the house. Had I denied my soul life, there could have been an opportunity for fellowship. The Lord, knowing this, having a sense of humor, sets up the time for us to do laundry for these 18 brothers, praise the Lord, tomorrow during the outing. And so the soul rises up right away. Soul life was there like, "Uh-oh, we got to get out of this. Let's figure out something to do." And so we're having the HC fellowship, and I asked a simple question. I was like, "Hey, but what if we find someone to replace us? Is that okay?" The soul life makes deals all the time. I'll just let you know. It's like, "Brothers, is that okay?" They're like, "Yeah, it's fine." I said, "Okay. You know the Lord touched me?" Instantly, "No, this is your portion." I said, "Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do laundry. Amen. And you know what happens while I'm doing it?
Get regenerated.
Who's that? No, I'm already regenerated, brother. Praise the Lord. The Lord is going to be happy.
Amen.
Because that's according to His ordination. It wasn't my choosing. I still don't like to do laundry. When I go back home, I'm not doing laundry. But here, at Camp Penwell, I'm doing laundry. And the Lord is happy about it. And I'm happy about it. Right? So I have another verse for you. And this is in the Acts. Acts chapter 11, verse 17. And before we read this verse, I'm going to give you some background. So, you know, Peter, after the heavens open and he gets rebuked now with a voice from heaven, you know, the Lord directly spoke to him. And there was a rebuke there, right? Then the heavens cut him off. Basically, Peter, be quiet. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Maybe you were talking in class and the teacher spoke to you, but I'm not sure if the Lord himself came and told you to stop talking. I probably would just never speak again. You know what I mean? If something like that happened, so I'd be like, oh my goodness, I should, you know? I'll just be careful. But Peter being Peter continues, and he has this portion, and this is in Acts 10. So we're not going to read the whole thing. But at this point, Peter had received the Holy Spirit. We saw that earlier. John 20:22, the Lord breathed out, and they all received the Holy Spirit, right? So he's not just with the Lord is actually in him. He's regenerated. He has this life. So in the beginning of Acts, we see before Pentecost, Peter is speaking to thousands with boldness, with power. He's speaking for and forth Christ. It's a Peter we've never seen before. When we come to Acts 10, Peter is praying. He's on a rooftop, and he gets a vision from the Lord. It says he was in a trance. He prayed himself into a trance, and the Lord spoke to him directly. And a sheet opened up, and it had all these different animals. And it said, slay and eat. Slay and eat. And there's all these different animals. And Peter said, no. And then the vision came again and said, slay and eat. It was slay and eat. Peter, do this. And Peter was like, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. I'm paraphrasing. I hope you guys would read this. This is Acts chapter 10. And again, the voice tells him, anything that I've made clean or called clean is clean. So eat. This was actually a testimony of the Spirit telling Peter to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. At that time, he'd only presented the gospel to the Jews, which happened at Pentecost. But now the Lord is saying, go to the Gentiles. And he does. And he goes to Cornelius' house. And they receive the Lord. Against his opinion. He didn't want to, but he did. And then some Jews come from Jerusalem and they talk to him. And this is how he responded to them. And this is 11:17. How about we all read this? Acts 11:17.
If therefore God has given to them the equal gift as also to us, who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could have forbidden God?
Peter finally starts to get it. Who was I that I could have forbidden God? You know, in Matthew 16, what Peter did when he rebuked the Lord, he forbid God to fulfill his economy. Mm-hmm. With his simple opinion, he forbade God. No, Lord, you will not do that. That's what Peter said. On the mountain, he gave his opinion. And instead of exalting Christ, he actually brought him down to the level of the prophets. And the Father spoke from heaven and corrected him. He receives the Spirit. There's some learning, some understanding. And even though he did say no when he received the vision, he acquiesced. He said, you know what? Let me just follow the Spirit in this one. And then when others came to tell him what he did was wrong, he said, who am I to forbid God? He learned to deny himself. The reason I'm giving you Peter's story is because that's our story. Or at least that's mine. There have been many times when the Lord was like, do this. And I'm like, no. And he said, do this. And I'm like, no, Lord, I'm not doing that. But in this portion, we see every time we do that, we're forbidding God from accomplishing what he sets out to do. You know, oftentimes our soul life comes up because we have an opinion, we have a choice, we have an idea, we have a desire, we have a thought. The Lord has all of these things. So we have to come to the point where the Lord's thought and desire and will actually trumps our own. That's not something that happens overnight. It's an entire process. And Peter even recognizes this and speaks about this when we come to 1 Peter. So how about you guys turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. No, chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. And this is what Peter says. How about we all read this together? Who are
being guarded by the power of God through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time.
So this matter of salvation, it's brought to us in the footnote. It's a long note. I hope you guys would read it. It's footnote 5:5. And I'm going to read part of it. But what this brings out in this, the first sentence, and I hope you guys in your study times would get into this. Not salvation from eternal perdition, but the salvation of our souls from the dispensational punishment of the Lord's governmental dealing. Now, to simplify that for this time, because I still want you guys to have time to respond, and I hope you would get into this during your study time. What Peter is saying is that we have to have our souls saved from the soul life, that satanic element that is judged by God. He experienced that to the degree where he can now write about it and warn us concerning this. And he mentions it in full in 1:9. If we all would turn to that verse. 1 Peter 1:9. Let's read it.
Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
So there's a note on this one too, and I'll read that one for you guys. We are of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit was saved through regeneration. Our body will be saved, redeemed through the coming transfiguration. Our soul will be saved through sufferings into the full enjoyment of the Lord at his revelation, his coming back. For this, we must deny our soul, our soulish life, with all its pleasures in this age, that we may gain it in the enjoyment of the Lord in the coming age. And I'll stop there. So, when we deny our soul now for the Lord's interest, in the coming age, we'll have a fuller enjoyment of the Lord. How can I make that even more simpler for you? It is this. Oftentimes, the reason our soul rises up, it's because it wants something. It could be entertainment, some sort of leisure, some sort of activity, some sort of soulish satisfaction. We seek that out to the detriment of our spirit. When we deny that satisfaction, our spirit is satisfied, it's refreshed, and even the taste of our soul changes. This is what the Lord is talking about. If you try and save your soul life, if you try and spend as much time playing Destiny as you can, or what did he say yesterday? LOL. Apparently the sisters, I know, yeah, League of Legends. Apparently sisters, you're playing League of Legends. I had no idea. But Brother Peter knows these things. If you're focused so much on playing League of Legends, and the Lord can't have his way in you, in the coming age, because of that enjoyment, you lose the enjoyment of the Lord. It's much easier to get it now. It's much better to get it now. The Lord has given us grace as a provision to allow us to deny our soul life. The enjoyment of Christ now supersedes the soulish enjoyment. But because we're in our soul, more times than not, it seems as if it's a big difficulty. You know, for this brother to go and play volleyball that day was very difficult. You would think, hey, it's volleyball. It's another sport. There's a ball, there's a net. It's just like soccer. No, I know. No, it's not. For him, in his soul, there was anger. He was so upset. I've seen him upset a lot. This was the most I'd ever seen him upset. I don't like volleyball. And I'm like, okay. Listen, in my soul, soccer is not a big deal. In my mind, emotion, and will, it doesn't affect me. I could play either sport. To me, they're about the same. But because his soul loves soccer so much, the thought of giving it up, it was too much. Anger rose up. Even rebellion against the camp rules. That soul life needs to be denied. And when we do that, grace comes in.
Amen.
The Lord comes in with a sweet enjoyment where we realize, you know what? It doesn't matter what I'm playing, what I'm doing. As long as the Lord is happy, I'm happy.
Amen.
That's to deny the soul to do what? Turn to the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit is there always waiting to be on top, where it should be, the source of our entertainment.
Right.
The source of our supply, our joy. You know, there's this one verse that I was really touched with in Psalms 139:17. You know, if you've ever heard, you know, people say, I have a lot on my mind. I've heard people say this. And I've even experienced this sometimes. Psalms 139:17. Psalms. Chapter 139, yes, verse 17. We'll read 17 and 18a. And how precious
are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the sand.
We can stop there. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the sand. You know, we think we have a lot on our mind. We have a lot of thoughts. The Lord's thoughts are greater than the amount of sand there is. The Lord's thoughts are, we can't fathom. I don't have the utterance. It's here. These thoughts can be our thoughts. Our soul's faculties are actually so that the Lord's thoughts could be expressed. Who knows what the Lord is thinking right now? We do. We know His will. We know His heart's desire. But until we turn to our spirit so that we can really delve into the depths of God, there's no appreciation. Jason, what do you think the Lord thinks about you? You don't know. You know why we don't know? We don't have this appreciation of His thoughts. We don't see the preciousness because we don't spend the time to allow Him to even speak to us concerning who we are. You know, one of the verses we covered was Hebrews 4:12, that the word was sharper than what? And it was able to do what? To do what? What was the purpose of the dividing? Has anyone memorized the verse yet?
No.
Yes. It says to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We don't even know what's going on in us. Only the Lord knows the thoughts and intentions of our own heart. For us to deny the soul life and turn to the spirit is to our benefit as well as the Lord's. The Lord comes in and He speaks to us concerning who we are and how we can be one with Him for His economy.
Amen.
That's why we're here. But if we continue to live to ourselves, He has no way to do this. And in a sense, we're forbidding Him from accomplishing His economy. We don't want to forbid the Lord, yeah? Aren't we here to hasten His coming?
Amen.
The simplest way is to deny ourselves and turn to the Spirit.
Amen.
When we turn to the Spirit, the Lord is able to execute everything that's on His heart.
Amen.
Even the intentions of our own heart are discerned. Amen.
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 I think I've given you guys enough time. I hope there's some response. Amen. And saints, in the study time, please get into these footnotes, the one that I mentioned. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.